Welcome to another installment of the FVT Expert Interview Series. Today we have with us Munsal Denton. Munsal is an entrepreneur and self-explorer currently developing Hyperion Strength, which offers a series of physical and cognitive enhancers to optimize performance. He enjoys active hobbies, including acro yoga and jujitsu, as well as quiet contemplation and meditation. Munsal, thanks for being on the call today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited, man. So, yeah, let's just hop right into it. Maybe to kick things off, you can tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from, all that sort of things, and how you originally got involved in the supplement industry.
Yeah, so if you would have seen me maybe 7-8 years ago, I probably would not have said that I was going to be in the supplement industry at all. My last years of high school was very interested in history, and I actually have a degree in history, and by all accounts, I would have expected to have gone somewhere into that field. But as it turns out, the formative years growing up were really important for me. And what I mean by that is both my parents have PhDs in food science and biochemistry respectively. And so I really grew up with this upbringing that was very revolved around not only being healthy and being conscious of the activities that I use with my body, just like, you know, daily practices, but also just having a better understanding of the body. And so this really kind of got at the root of who I was, just because my parents had such an important role in my development. And when I played soccer and I swam competitively for many years, but when I quit soccer, I had some injuries, and I had to completely relearn and re-understand what it meant for me specifically to be healthy. And that led me down all types of rabbit holes. And I found there was a lot of supplement companies that were just doing things really, really wrong. And it wasn't even just that they were ill-informed. It was that they were legitimately trying to work to the detriment of consumers. And there's a few, you know, specific things like, you know, their proprietary blends and stuff like that, that I really was opposed to. And so that kind of drew me into creating my own products that people could use that didn't have to, you know, have all those negative side effects and stuff.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And so, yeah, you know, and I appreciate you. I've gotten a chance to try a couple of the products that you guys have, and I'm loving them so far, specifically the creatine. And that's what, you know, I wanted to get into that too, more specifically today. And ask you a couple questions and, you know, give everybody some ideas of different things they can do, why they would take creatine, mistakes they would make. So maybe if you can answer this one, what would you say the biggest myth that you encounter every day when it comes to supplementing with creatine is?
Yeah, the biggest myth by far is that creatine is only for bodybuilders that want to get bigger. And I encounter it all the time with females are especially prone to this, because that is one of their biggest fears, is like getting bigger and looking bulky. And I've only met a couple females that really have done the research to know that they're not gonna, you know, just become very big just from taking creatine. In general, you can take creatine all you want, and if you don't go to the gym, you're not gonna get any bigger. It's not a product that's gonna instantly make anybody bigger. And more importantly, it's even if you're doing a lot of activity and you're eating right and everything, taking creatine is not going to make that big of a difference. And the problem with this myth is that it makes everybody see what's under the surface. And under the surface with creatine is a huge number of benefits, you know, that we'll get into. But I mean, as someone who does jujitsu, I actually use creatine for purely recovery purposes. My tendons and my ligaments, they don't heal as fast as the muscle sometimes. And creatine is basically just giving my cells more energy. So it allows my tendons and ligaments to recover quicker. And that's true for anybody that has a really rigorous workout routine. But for whatever reason, this myth that creatine equals big bodybuilders is just kind of making everyone overlook the more important things.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. So like, let's say that, you know, you had somebody came to you, or someone is just asked the question, like, you know, what would you say, who's creatine going to help? And, like, what kind of goals is it best oriented towards and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it honestly, I'm a little bit biased because I think that creatine can benefit basically everybody. And when you know, some people might roll their eyes when I say that, but if you consider like the person who would stereotypically need creatine the least, let's say an elderly woman who's 65 years old. Now, why would she need creatine? Well, it turns out creatine is actually, like I said, it just provides more energy for each cell in our body. And what that means for an elderly 65-year-old woman is the creatine actually helps her brain cells and protects her cells so that she doesn't forget things. So it improves memory in elderly people. It's a neuroprotective agent to prevent neurological decline and to prevent memory loss and things like that. So, I mean, you know, that's just like one extreme example, but even a 65-year-old woman who does very little exercise, if any, could benefit from using creatine. Anyone who does rigorous activity that needs additional recovery could benefit from creatine because, like I said, it's just energy. It's additional energy. And when there are either muscles or ligaments, tendons, what have you, that need extra, you know, support, the creatine can help. There's a couple of instances where it might be important to take creatine at very specific times and intervals. For example, professional fighters or somebody who really, really needs to be very lean and like make a certain weight cut. Sometimes a fighter might not use creatine for a certain period of time just so that they can lose some of their water weight and make their weight cut. But in general, it's useful for everybody. And even somebody like, you know, our mutual friend Funk Roberts, he does Muay Thai and he does fighting and he still takes creatine because it doesn't, you know, negatively impact his ability to cut weight. So, you know, I would say people that are really, really precise with their weight might want to take a little closer look at it, but basically everybody can take creatine and benefit in some way.
Okay. That's really interesting because, like you said, you know, I think most people have the perception of it's going to be a supplement that people are going to take just towards, like, if you want to gain muscle, gain strength, that sort of thing. I mean, I know for me personally, I've taken so many different supplements over the years. And when it comes to something that, like, you can just feel in a very short period of time, creatine is one of those supplements that, and I'm sure you can speak more to this, like, is it probably one of the supplements that's got the most research behind it. Am I right about saying that?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's got hundreds of studies. It's been around for decades and, you know, until recently, most of the studies have been about, you know, physical enhancement. So whether it's endurance or strength or muscle mass, but the last 5 to 10 years, the studies have focused a lot more on what creatine does for the brain. And that is really, you know, rewarding for a lot of different people, for sure.
Okay, cool. So then, and so you mentioned about, you know, people that are sensitive about their weight. So, and I know that, you know, I definitely experienced this where when, especially when you first start taking creatine, you end up putting on a few pounds. And maybe you can speak more to like why that happens and, you know, exactly what that means and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so when you start taking creatine, there's definitely going to be a little bit of water retention, and a lot of people will experience maybe 1-2 pounds, where they're a little bit heavier, but most of that is just coming from water. Your body is just likely absorbing water and retaining it more, and it's not really a problem. One of the mistakes that some people make is they try and take creatine. If they take creatine within a blend or a mix of other products, oftentimes those other products that are in the mix have a lot of sugar and a lot of other ingredients that are really unhealthy. Creatine is often used in like mass gainers, and people who take those kinds of products don't often realize that it's just taking a ton of sugar and carbohydrates. And the reason people take carbs with creatine is because the carbohydrates and sugars specifically help the creatine shuttle into the muscle cells and the brain cells more efficiently. And so I think one big mistake is that people overeat sugar and carbohydrates when they take the creatine, and so it kind of exaggerates the weight gain. But you don't necessarily need to eat that much sugar or any sugar at all if you take creatine the right way, and that can avoid a lot of the extra weight that people, you know, struggle with. But, you know, like I said, there might be 1 or 2 pounds of water retention, but that's really minuscule compared to the benefits that you get. And usually anything more than that is just people kind of approaching the creatine supplementation the wrong way.
Okay, no, got it. Very interesting. So then what would you say, you know, going off of that, would be the best way to take it? I mean, is it better to take the creatine by itself? Are there things that you can take with it to enhance like the uptake to your muscle cells, that sort of thing? What are your recommendations when it comes to that?
Yeah, so there was a study a few years ago that was pretty groundbreaking for anybody that is interested in supplementation and creatine specifically. It showed that fenugreek, which is an herb that I've been, you know, exposed to from a very young age. It's in Indian cooking a lot. It's often grown in India. And anyway, fenugreek helps to act in the same way as sugar for shuttling creatine into cells. And it's something that is kind of surprising to me, but for whatever reason, this herb has the same effect in the human body as sugar, but without all the extra calories and without all the, you know, glucose problems that can come with it that lead to, you know, diabetes and things like that. So especially for people who might be on a paleo diet or a low carb diet, it's really useful to use fenugreek with the creatine to shuttle the supplement into the muscle and brain cells. And when it comes to timing of creatine, usually people are restricted by when they eat. So either they're taking creatine with a meal because they need to get they think that they need to get the sugar, or they're just, you know, not utilizing it properly some other part of the day, and it's not as effective. But when you have the fenugreek with it, you can basically take creatine at any time of the day. Timing doesn't really matter, so long as the dosage of around 5 grams is used every single day, you'll see maximum, you know, benefits from that. And if people are traveling or they just forget a day or two, it's not going to make a big difference. It doesn't really start becoming a problem until you miss, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days of creatine supplementation. So the biggest thing would be to stay consistent, take 5 grams every day, and try and make it part of some routine that they do.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, I remember back when, this is probably 15 years ago, when, or maybe it was even more. You would probably know better than me when exactly creatine started getting popular. But I remember that some of those first formulations, I mean, literally, it would be like 100 grams of sugar mixed with 5 grams of creatine. And it was crazy, you know, looking back, it's like 500 calories, you know, just in the creatine formulation, which is especially, like you just look at, just not really a greatest thing for you to be taking all that sugar all the time, right? I mean, in general, but especially like that amount, it's just crazy. But so, and that's the other thing I was going to ask you, one of the other things I wanted to ask you was, you know, so you said about 5 grams a day. What is your opinion on doing like a loading phase? Do people still need to do that, or is that not really needed anymore?
So it's definitely, scientifically, it's useful, but it depends on your goals. For most people that I, you know, suggest taking creatine, it's not important that they start to see results immediately or like within a week. Nobody's going to see results after they take it for one day, but some people can see results if they take 20 grams a day. They might be able to see results in like 5 to 7 days, whereas taking a regular dosage consistently might take a couple of weeks. So again, I mean, if someone is very, you know, focused on getting stronger and bigger as fast as they possibly can, a loading dose would definitely be beneficial. 20 grams per day for about 5 to 7 days is usually the optimal loading dose, and then go down to the regular 5 grams a day. But I would say for most people, it's not necessary. And in fact, it can sometimes be a problem for people who take 20 grams and it just ends up being too much for their intestinal tract. And it can sometimes create, you know, discomfort and all kinds of other issues, especially if someone doesn't drink enough water. So, in general, I'd stay, you know, more towards, you know, just take 5 grams consistently and then, be patient.
Okay. Gotcha. And then in terms of what you were saying before, the timing is important. It's not super important. So you don't need, a person doesn't need to be taking it before their workout or after their workout or anything like that, as long as they're consistently taking it every day.
Exactly. Creatine works through saturation, basically. So when the muscle cells and the brain cells are saturated with creatine, which takes, you know, time, that's why they have the loading phase. It takes time to saturate the muscles. And once that's done, it's just a consistent thing. So, you know, taking a 5 gram dose of creatine and then going to the gym is not going to give anybody any particular benefits, as opposed to taking it any other part of the day. Except maybe placebo effect. And honestly,
right,
there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of the placebo effect, because it's just as powerful as having something.
Yeah, that was like the guy that I played football with in high school, and he gets to dump 2 scoops of creatine in his mouth before every practice and act like he's getting all fired up. no actual real benefit, but placebo effect, right?
Yeah, take advantage of what you can if you want to be the best.
That's right. So when it comes to like cycling on and off, what is your take on that?
I think it's healthy to cycle on and off based on your environment. So what I mean by that is, if somebody's taking creatine regularly and they're planning to travel for a week, use that week to cycle off the creatine. Give your body a week off, and when you get back home, get back to the creatine just like normal. If your goals are to compete or something, then you may want to use the creatine through the end of the competition and then maybe take a little bit of time off afterwards. Usually cycling, it seems to me through my research that cycling doesn't have any significant benefits, nothing that's been, you know, proven outright. There is there's additional work that your body has to do with creatine, but it's very kind of demonized in the media. People think that oftentimes creatine is bad for your kidneys, and that's just not true. It's another big myth that's been dispelled by science over and over again. So I would say that taking, like, cycling off creatine is not a necessity, and it's not important to, like, protect your health or anything. But from a convenience perspective, giving yourself a break and just, you know, kind of going off for a little bit is probably a good idea every now and then.
Cool. And so that was going to be actually the next question I was going to ask you is in terms of, because everybody probably has this question, is the safety part of it? Like, is creatine, just like you just mentioned, there's not necessarily any negative health risks associated with cycling on, cycling off. It sounds like you can take it continuously and be totally safe about it. But just in general, like in terms of what kind of research is out there showing, you know, short or long-term safety of the product?
Yeah, because creatine's been used for a comparatively long period of time, it's got a lot of research that shows it's not only an effective supplement in the long term for strength, but also for the brain. So a lot of people that end up, you know, using it for a while end up stronger and more physically robust, but then there's like secondary benefits for their brain, et cetera. The biggest thing I think to keep in mind when it comes to safety and creatine is almost everybody except maybe some vegans actually gets a considerable amount of creatine in their diet. So creatine is in every single red meat, every single animal protein source. It's in eggs. It's in all types of things. And it's actually really important for our health. And the problem is our diets don't have an optimal dose of it. We still, you know, to get 5 grams of creatine, we would have to eat half a pound of red meat. And no, sorry, let me rephrase that. To get 1 5-gram serving of creatine, I think we'd have to eat like 2.5 pounds of red meat. And nobody is really willing to do that, and for good reason, because there's obviously disadvantages of doing that. But we can, you know, because of modern science, we can kind of figure out what's optimal for humans and extrapolate what we need. But like I said, creatine is something we have in our food all the time. It's a necessity for the human cell to function properly. So all we're doing is providing a little bit extra of something that our brain needs, desires, and gets anyway.
Okay, awesome. Well, this is great. This has been really good stuff and some new information about other creatine and some stuff that I didn't know as well. So this has been great. There's a couple more questions. I think you probably covered a lot of this stuff, but what would you say the biggest mistake that people make is when supplementing with creatine? Anything we haven't covered yet?
Yeah. The biggest mistake other than what we've covered. Oh, so I think the biggest mistake would be getting a product that is not purely creatine or focused on the benefits of creatine alone. Because if you go to GNC or you go to a lot of like brick and mortar supplement stores, they have a bunch of products that have creatine in them, but they also have some crazy stimulants and a bunch of amino acids that are unnecessary, and they don't have the dosage information. So people read good things about creatine, but then they go out and they buy a product that A, doesn't have enough creatine in, you know, one serving, and so they don't really get the benefits of creatine. And then B, it's filled with a bunch of other unhealthy ingredients, so they're kind of working to their detriment. And C, it costs a lot more money, and they're doing more harm than good to their body. So I would say If someone wants to take creatine, it doesn't matter if they buy the creatine that my company sells or not. Just go with a straight creatine. No blends, just find pure creatine. And that is, it's scientific, it's simple, it's exactly what you need, and it's way better and way cheaper than trying to buy all the nonsense that's at local supplement stores.
So in your opinion, if someone, say, wanted to, take creatine and then they should do that, say, separately, and then maybe do like a separate, some kind of pre-workout thing, or have a cup of coffee or whatever is going to work for them. But that's probably a better approach than trying to get something that's like a blend of, that's got, some kind of stimulant, something to give you an extra pump, some creatine, all that stuff all mixed together, because you don't even know exactly of how much of each is in it and all that sort of thing. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. If you want to have, with supplementation, there should always be a specific goal in mind. And when there's a specific goal, there's like a specific supplement for that goal. So if I want to get bigger and stronger and I want to improve my endurance, I'm going to take creatine. If I want to get pumped up for the gym, personally, I like a cup of coffee. But if someone wants to use some pre-workouts, that's a different story. If I want to train fasted, I'm going to take just BCAAs. And that's what I do. But each one of those goals has a specific supplement that goes with it, because it's human nature and it's not anybody's fault and it's not something anyone should beat themselves up about, but it's very easy to fall into the trap of looking for a magic pill. And when supplement companies are, getting the best marketing minds to sell people a magic pill, it's no wonder they buy these blends, but they're really not that healthy and they're definitely not that effective. So it's best, like you said, just get individual ingredients that focus on something specific and take them separately.
Okay, got it. And then the last thing is, I think we touched on this a little bit in the beginning of the call, but beyond muscle and strength, what else is creatine good for?
Yeah, so, I mentioned earlier, basically creatine, it helps the body create ATP, which is energy, and it does so in each cell. And our brain has, tons of cells, just like our body. And the way that creatine helps our muscles is it gives us more energy to do work. The way creatine helps our brain is the exact same thing. It helps our brain do more work. Now, work for the brain is not lifting anything. Work for the brain is memorizing things. It's learning things better. It's paying attention for longer. It's, all these different things that everybody's looking for, especially, in college or in a professional job where they have to use their brain a lot. So creatine is very effective as a nootropic, and the term nootropic, it just means like a cognitive enhancer. And on top of all the benefits that young people or, people in the 30s or 40s or 50s can see, people who are older can also benefit from creatine because it's very neuroprotective. It actually helps to protect the brain from age-related decline and degeneration. And so it's a very useful tool for people of all ages to not only enhance their brain, but protect it in the future as well.
Awesome. Well, this is great, man. Thank you again so much for hopping on and doing this interview today. And I think it's been, anybody that's thinking about creatine, takes creatine, wants to know more about creatine, how to get more out of it, I think we'll greatly benefit from this call. So thanks again. Montel, why don't you tell our listeners more about where they can learn more about you and what you do and your supplement company, all that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah. I have the business is www.Hyperion, Hyperion, strength.com. And they can just find out more information there about, kind of our philosophy and kind of our mission as far as changing the supplement industry and trying to make a more transparent and scientific-based approach to things. I've got a lot of information on there too. That's kind of like my whole focus is just, it's not just, you know, products, but it's, you know, it's the information that goes along with those so people can make the right decisions. And quite frankly, I don't care whether they buy our products or not, so long as they're informed about it. That's kind of the guiding principle of our business, is very much that, you know, the earth, it gives us the ingredients to be, you know, to change mankind, and these people who come to the site just need the right information, and I want to give that to them. So yeah, they can visit the site, they can send an email, and I will respond to them personally, and yeah, find me on Twitter at @TheHackedMind, and shoot me a message. I'll be glad to speak with anyone.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a great call. Great talking to you, and have a great day, Munsell. Thanks again.
Yeah, Forrest. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care. You too.